Gemara Erubin has been sponsored by Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife Celia for their success, for their children's success, health, happiness, beracha, parnasa, v'hatzlacha, bechol ma'aseh yedehem. Daf Vav. Today's daf has been sponsored by the Asa family in honor of their parents, Yosef and Norma Asa. Hashem alehem yichyu. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Hacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Ayadin. Amen. We are starting on He'amud Bet on two lines from the bottom, the last word on the line. Amar Rav Hanin Bar Rava Amar Rav. Rav Hanin said a statement in the name of Rav. Mavui Shenefratz Mitzido Be'eser. This is a case that we studied a little earlier where you have a mavui, again the alley, shenifratz, that it became breached on one of its side walls. We have a picture earlier in our books, just if you want to remind yourself, that was picture number 17, where you saw it was breached on the side. Now, in this case, over, it doesn't matter exactly where on the wall it was breached. In picture number 17, it was breached right by the Korah. But for that matter, in this case, it can be breached anywhere on the side walls, meaning on the length of the Mavui. So the Gemara says, the shi'ur of the breach can be Eser. Eser means even up to 10 Amot. Including 10 Amot, the Mavui is still Kasher. Meaning that area will be considered a petach, and a mavui, as we learned, can have several petachim, and therefore the korah, the adjustment that was placed at the head of the mavui, still is considered functional, and therefore the mavui you can carry in it. The top Rashi says mitzido, again from the side, bekotel orko, velo etzel rosho. Yeah, not like we learned above where the breach was close to the front of the mavui. Elash yesh arba'a omed min ha-petach ad ha-pirsa. Meaning you have at least four tefahim, like we learned earlier, from the Korah. You have four tefahim of wall, and then from there, any time after that, the pirsa, the breach, starts. Then the Gemara continues, merosho bedalit. However, if the breach is on the front wall, meaning the front entrance to the mavui, if there's a breach in the wall over there, so then already the maximum breach is four tefahim. Now she explains us the case. If you want to look at it, you can see it. That would be in picture number 27 is correct. 27, you're seeing the breaches on the front wall of the entrance of the mavui. She tells us what happened in this case. The cases where you had an entrance that originally was 20 amot wide. Now, we know 20 amot is too wide for the entrance of a mavui. The Mishnah told us in such a case you have to be mima'it. You have to minimize the entrance to get it down to at least 10. So in this case over here, you extended the walls, and now it was 10 amot, that was fine. One of those extended walls, in this case you see on the right, became breached. So Rav Hanin, in the name of Rav, is saying that if the breach on the front wall is four tefahim or more, including four tefahim, then already that's considered a breach, and now already the mavui cannot be fixed with the regular lechi. So let's read Rashi inside. Rashi, second line, Mirosho. Shaya mavui lahav chaf amma. Originally the mavui was 20 amot wide. V'satmo eser amot. And you sealed it up to get to 10 amot. Kedetna, like we learned in our Mishnah, v'arachav me'eser, if it's wide more than 10, what do? You ma'et. V'nifritza pirsa be'ota stima. And in that enclosure, that became breached. So now the Gemara asks, Mai shena mitzido be'eser? What's the reason why you said that you allow a breach on the side of the mavui up to 10 amot? De'amar petahu. Because your rationale is you're saying that's still considered a petah. which means now people can enter the Mavui two ways. You can go straight in or you go through the side. It's still considered a petah, and it doesn't nullify the original petah. Just consider the Mavui with two petachim, and therefore the Mavui is still considered viable. So Mirosho Nameh Nema Petahu. So for the same reason you should say when you have a breach on the front wall, it should also be considered a petach. So you have two openings there. You have the open area where you have the korah over, and then you have that breached area. It should also be considered a petach. So therefore, why should your mavui become no good just because the breach was on the front wall? So Amar Rav Huna ben Rav Yehoshua kegon shenifratz bekeren zavit. Because it didn't actually breach on the front wall, but it's the front corner, which is picture number 28, where you see, let's say, on the the northeastern corner, let's say. So then you have the breach over there. Now, why does that change anything? Because that area over there, when it's on the corner, that's not a petah. People don't make petahim entrances on an angle like that. And therefore, that's considered a breach. And when it's a pirtzah, and when you have a pirtzah in your mavui, so then already it's considered not a mavui anymore, and therefore it breaks the status. So therefore, on the side wall, we're going to consider that as just an alternate petah. However, in the corner, so that's really not a petah, that is a breach. Now, just one question that we have to just deal with, a side point. We learned on yesterday's daf that one of the ways we answered a question for the opinion that said that the width or the length of a mavui is 4 tefachim, so we had to figure out a way, how do you have the doors entering into the mavui? So the final picture we had was where they're coming on an angle. So you really tell me, I thought you just tell me now that a petah that's on an angle is not a considered a petah. So the Ritvam, the Tosfot explained that over there we're talking about where you made an actual mezuzot and a mashkof, meaning you had side posts and you had a top bar also on top. And therefore, it was actually a door. You actually make a door out of it, then already, even if it's on an angle, it's considered a petah. Here, it's just a breach in the corner of the wall. Therefore, it's not considered. So therefore, we have a difference. On the side, the breach could be up to 10 amot, and the mavui is still kasher. And the front, as well. When does the breach have a din of a breach to make the mavui not functional as a mavui? That's when it's on the corner. And the way the Gemara called it is Keren Zavit. So Gemara says, because a door on the corner people do not make. Now, that's one opinion. That was Rav, again, Rav Hanin's opinion in the name of Rav. Rav Huna comes along and argues. He comes along and says, it's four tefachim, no matter where it is, whether it's on the side, it's four tefachim, meaning once it gets to four tefachim or more, it's considered a breach. And in the front, it's as well, meaning in the corner, also the shul is four tefachim, meaning Rav Huna does not make a hiluk between tzadin and the corner. So comes the Gemara and says, "Vechen amar le Rav Huna le Rav Hanan bar Rava," and Rav Huna actually told Rav Hanan bar Rava, "Lo teflog illa'e." Don't argue on this point, which means don't say that Rav holds that on the side of the Mavui it's 10. Because you're quoting Rav that says it's 10 amot on the side, it's not. Why? De Rav ikla lidmehira. Rav once found himself in the city of Meharia. Ve'avad ovda kivati. And there was a case where there was a breach on the side of the wall, and it was, let's say, more than four tefachim. And what did Rav say? Rav said, you can't carry in such a mavui. So you see what? Rav does not hold you get up to 10 amot. He holds much less is considered a breach. So therefore, what he was, when I was telling Rav Hanan, listen, don't quote Rav as saying you have 10 amot. We have a story. It was a case, and the breach was more than four tefachim. Already Rav said you cannot carry the mavui. Amar le, so he answers back. Rav Hanan says, "Bika'a matzah v'gadar ba'gedir." He literally, what he tells him back is, Rav found the valley and he fenced it. What did he mean to say? He says, just like when one has a valley, so to enclose it, you put a fence up. He says, that story you're telling me was in a place where there was Ameh Aris. And if Rav would have been lenient according to the halakha, these guys would have taken advantage of it and it would have led to mistakes. So therefore, he put a fence, meaning he was more strict than his opinion. She's really Rabbos on the side, the breach can be up to 10, it's still considered a petah. So why in that case was he Mahmir? Over there he found a valley. He found an open area, let's say, of Amaharis, so he needed to fence them in Halakha and be more strict on them, lest they come to be Matir, more types of Isurim. So that story did not change the opinion of Rav Hanan. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Kebated Rav Huna Mistabra. But Rav Nachman comes along and says it makes more sense the way Rav Huna is explaining that it's for tefachim even on the side of the mavui. Why? The itmar, because we have a case. Let's learn the case independently and then we'll see exactly how it has application. Mavui akum. You have a curved or bent mavui. What is that case? So if you look at picture number 29, you see what it is. You have a mavui that looks like the letter resh, meaning right, it goes straight. The mavui, if you have a reshut and a beam, it goes straight. Then it makes a hook, it makes a turn, and it's opened up on the second side also to the reshut and a beam. That's called the mavui akum. So now the question is, how do you adjust a mavui akum that's opened up on two sides, but not straight? It wouldn't be it's not a regular mavui mifulash. That's just a straight alley that has a reshut and a beam open on both sides. It's a mavui that's like the letter resh. So what do you do in such a case? So Rav Amar Torato kimfulash, Ushmoel Amar Torato kesatum. Rav Mahlok and Rav and Shmuel. Rav comes along and says you treat it like a mavui mifulash. You imagine as if it's straight. And there's a reshut and a beam open on both sides. Now what's the deen if you have a mavui mifulash? How do you fix a mavui mifulash? You need adjustments on both sides. And what's the adjustment? Halakha says you need on one side a lehi or a korah, and on the other side you need surat ha-petach, which is you actually need two poles and a cross beam on top. Which is not enough in such a case just to have a lehi on one side and a lehi on the other side. You need actually on one side Surat ha-petach, and on the other side you have a lehi, like you see in picture number 30. In picture number 30 you see an actual mavui mifulash, and you see exactly how the adjustment was made. So Rav says a mavui that's akum has a din of a mavui mifulash, and therefore you have to put a surat ha-petach on one side and a lehi on the other side, meaning at one entrance to the reshut ha-rabim, even at the other entrance of the reshut ha-rabim. That's the opinion of Rav. Ushmuel Amar Torato kesatum. He says no. This over here has a din of a mavui satum. What is a mavui satum? A mavui that its back wall is closed up. And therefore, what do you have to do in such a case? You only have to make an adjustment on the side that's open to the reshut ha-rabim, meaning a lehi. So therefore, it's like you have two mavui satums over here. They have a mavui satum going, you know, the straight, and the mavui satum going the other way. They're not connected, so to speak. And therefore, just adjust each respective reshut ha-rabim with a lehi. Okay, that's the way that she learns. And then that she brings actually a second explanation. And he comes along and says that according to Shmuel, you'd actually have to make an adjustment in the corner where it turns. You'll see that let's go to the both pictures according to Shmuel. Let's go to picture number 31 first. In 31, you see the first pshat in Nashi, where you just have a lehi on one side of the reshut ha-rabim and a lehi on the other side of the reshut ha-rabim. Then 32 is the alternate interpretation of Rashi. We have a lehi on one side of the reshut ha-rabim, a lehi on the other side, and you have a lehi in the corner itself. That's the way Rashi heard from his rabbi, that in the corner itself you need an actual lehi. Now, according to Rav, that said Mefulash, if you look at picture number 29, you see that on both sides you have a Lehi, and the Surata Petach is placed at the turn, at the corner, because that's the area that's considered Mefulash, which is that's the area, the corner area, it's opened to, the Mavui is open to it, and the other Mavui is open to that. So that, as she tells us, has that's the deen of, as if it's open to the Reshut HaRabim, that corner area, and therefore the adjustment of the Surat HaPetah is placed over there. So now the Gemara is going to analyze this corner, this curve. How wide is it? So the Gemara says, B'may askina, what are we talking about over here? Ilema biyoter me'esir. If you're going to tell me that the corner, means a turn, is wider than 10 amot, deha lema Shmuel torato kesatum, can Shmuel come along and say, well, you have a breach, you have a mavui, that's narrow, that opens up to 10 amot at the curb, you're going to tell me that Shmuel's going to call that a mavui satum, and therefore you don't have to have any adjustment, you just need a lechi on either corner? That she comes to the, that's impossible, because if it's more than 10 amot in a regular mavui satum, what's the deen? In a regular mavui satum, the deen is if you have on the side more than 10 amot, it breaks the mavui. So you're telling me, well, a mavui akum has a deen of a mavui satum. Well, even a mavui satum, if you have a breach of 10 amot, it breaks it. So therefore, if it's more than 10 amot, there's no way Shmuel can still say that this is a mavui satum. It's going to be a problem. So therefore, what must the case be? So the Gemara says, I read inside. Can he say that's a case of Hezadina of a mavui satum? El alav be'eser. Must be talking about where it is 10 amot or less. Ve'ka'amar Rav, and what did Rav say? Torato kimfulash. And Rav says what? That this mavui has a deen of a mavui mefulash that's opened on both sides. So what do you see from the Alma? Pirtzat mavui mitzido bedalid. Must be that he holds that already a breach is considered once you get to four tefahim. Because we're talking about a breach, or maybe the corner is considered the breach here. And this corner is what? Less than 10 amot. And still, what does he say? That's considered as if the mavui is breached and it's opened on both sides to the Reshut HaRabim. What do you mean? If you held that less than 10 is considered a pet, I mean it's not considered a breach, so therefore it would be considered mavui satum. From the fact that he called it a mavui mefulash, that shows us what? That the Rav must hold that once already you get to four tefahim, already it's breached, and therefore it's considered opened, and therefore we consider this opened on both sides. So we have a proof that Rav will hold that the breach on the side of a mavui, because it's not in the front wall, it's on the side. Once already it's more than four tefahim, it's considered breached. And that's why he says it's considered mefulash. If we have to put a surat apeta over there, that's why you have to make the adjustment. So that's the proof that they want to bring, that Rav must hold like Rav Huna, that on the side it's not 10 amot. It's got to be 4 tefahim. So the Gemara says, Rav Hanan Baraba, so how's Rav Hanan Baraba going to answer this? He said on the side you get 10 amot. And here we're bringing a proof that sounds like it's only 4 tefahim. Shani Hatam de Kabakae Barabim. This is different. In this case over here, since the Mavui is opened up on both sides, Rabim Abukimbo, that means the masses are going through this Mavui. It's opened up to both sides of the Reshut HaRabim. When it's opened on both sides of the Reshut HaRabim, where the masses are trampling and walking through it, then already we'll agree that what? It's got to be a smaller area. We're not going to give you the 10 amot. Until now, when did we say, when did Rav Anan come along and tell you have 10 amot on the side? That was only talking about in a case where the masses do not really access that area. Why? That she tells us either because there's impediments over there. I'll read you the Rashi, that she says, but she tells you, is in a case מחלל דרבונה, אפילו בפרצה דלו בקעי רבים, כגון שפירוצה למקום מתונף, right, let's say it was breached on a place where it was a smell over there, or the makom mekulkal, or is it a place where it was near destroyed area bepehatim with depressions in the ground vetit ve'en derech rabim mitzuyim la'avod be'otah pirsa, and it's not so easy to access that area. So therefore, let's review. Rav Hanan will say what, that on the side of a mavui, you get to have even a breach of 10 amot, the mavui is good. In what type of case? In a case where the majority of people are really not going to access that pirsa. Why? Because it's not so comfortable for them, for the reasons mentioned, for them to go in. Therefore, even if it's bigger, it's not going to break your main entrance of the mavui. Therefore, the mavui is kasher. Over here, however, in the case with the Mavui Akum, we're coming along to say that what? The Shi'ud is going to be less. Why? Because this case over here, since the Rabbim Bokim, the Rabbim do use this area, because they're walking across it, so that already becomes a breach even at a smaller amount. Therefore, even Rav Anin that said, 10 Amot, we'll say in this case, fortifying, because the dynamics are different over here. This is a type of breach that's really being used. Therefore, it's a legitimate breach. And therefore, even fortifying wide is going to make it a mavui, mefulash, and therefore you're going to need the adjustment of surat al-pirtah, etc. But what comes out according to this? Comes out according to this that Rav Huna, that said, a breach of fortifying even on the side, is even in a case where it's not so accessible. Even in a case where the Rabbim don't really use it, still he says, fortifying already is considered a breach in the wall, and therefore the Mavui is not a Mavui. So that's what the Gemara comes along and says. The Gemara says, Michlal de Ravuna Savar Afalgav de Lobachay Rabbim. Michlal pointed Ravuna, who says four, must hold even in a case where it's really not so easily accessible to get in, still four breaks the Mavui. So let's review the Machloket. Comes out we have a great Machloket over between Rav Hanan and Rav Huna. Rav Hanan comes along and says that if you have a break on the sidewall of the Mavui in a place where what? It's not so excessively used because it's a smelly area or there's pits over there or tar, whatever it is. So already 10 amot is not considered a breach. It's not going to break the pit on the mavui, and therefore everything is good. Rav Huna says no. On the site, in the same exact case, which is not so accessible and it's not the best way to get in, still, fortifachim is going to break it. However, Rav Hanan will agree that in the case of the mavui akum, where Rabbim Bokimbo, where people access it and go through it, because open up all the, even fortifachim will be considered a breach. So now the Gemara comes along and says, if you remember on yesterday's daf, we gave an opinion of Amen of Aseh. That was the original picture that we started off with today, where they said that so long as you have a Korah, actually we can look at the picture together, so long as you have a Korah, that's number 17 was Rav Amen of Aseh. You have a Korah, you have four tefachim of wall after the Korah, even if your pirsa is 10 amot, they said kashir. So now we're coming to ask on Rav Huna, why do we have Rav Amen of Aseh clearly tell you can have up to 10, how come you're saying you only have four tefachim? What's the difference between Rabbi Amin Abbas's case? So the Gemara says, he's learned it differently. He says, we know what that case was? Hatam di'ika gidudeh. Hachadeleka gidudeh. Over there you had gidudeh. What is gidudeh? So if you look at the picture 33, he learns the case where you had some bricks still left on the floor. And therefore, over there, it's not so readily accessible at all, because you're not going to use that entrance, so it's very hard because it's got the bricks still pot on the floor, you have, a couple of tefahima bricks. So therefore, in that case over there, yeah, even if the pritzah is long, it's not considered a breach. It's not even considered such a, easy petah, and therefore, I'll tell you, it can even be bigger. However, in our case, it's talking about where it's flush, clean to the floor. In that case over there, once it's already four tefahim, or more, that already is considered a breach according to him. It's not a petach, and therefore the mavui cannot be adjusted. The mavui, the breach, cannot be adjusted. So therefore, that's the way he'll make a hiluk in Rav Amir's case, where you had gidude, you had these rods. So that is the cases that we mentioned. Comes the Gemara and continues. New story. Now the Gemara is going to give us a way to put an Eruv in a public domain. Now, what is a public domain? Now she tells us, a public domain is a road that's opened on both sides, no walls. It is at least 16 amot wide, and at least 600,000 people have to cross through that road, just like the Midbar. I mean, the source of Reshut Rabim is the Midbar, and the Midbar had that width as they traveled, and also there were 600,000 people. Now, I don't know if you need to see a picture of this, but 34 tries to give you a picture of a Reshut Rabim, the Shitat Rashina. I didn't count the people in the picture, but they're trying to give you an image of 600,000 people that are on an open road of 16 amot. Okay, so the question now is, how do you make an eruv over the Reshut Rabim? So the Gemara says, we have some options. Tanu Rabbanan, Ketzad me'arbin derech Reshut Rabim, Oseh surat ha-petach mikan, ve'lechi ve'kora mikan. First opinion, Tanakama. On one end of the Reshut Rabim, put a surat ha-petach, and on the other end, put a lehi or a korah. That would be picture number 35. You see the Reshut Rabim, that's the paved road, or the lined road. You have on one side surat ha-petach, that's like a doorpost, and right next to the camel on the other side, where the guy's standing, you see a lehi. Okay, so that's Tanna Kamma's opinion. Now you'd be able to carry in between that area. Now that could be, according to this Gemara, at this point, that's even Ocean Parkway, where you're just putting a surat ha-petach on one side, at the one end, and you're putting a lehi at the other end. The Gemara is telling you at this point that it is kasher. Now, that's Tanna Kamma. Hananya comes along and says, no. Bet Shammai Omrim, Hananya is going to explain to us Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel's opinion on how to adjust this. Bet Shammai Omrim, Oseh delet mikan vedelet mikan. You have to put doors. Doors at one end, doors at the other end. Ushu yotzeh v'nichnas no'el. And whenever he comes in, he always has to keep the doors locked. That's picture number 36, where you see you're putting gates. Gates at the end, gates at the beginning, and then already you can carry in between. That's Bet Shammai. What does Bet Hillel say? Bet Hillel Omrim, Oseh delet mikan ve'lechi ve'kora mikan. Bet Hillel, which would be picture number 37. You see at the end of the Reshut Rabim, on that side you put gates. And in the front you put a lehi. So it comes out we actually have three shitot over here. Tanna Kamma, Surat HaPetach, and a lehi. Hananya, the way he explains Bet Shammai, Delatot, and Delatot. Hananya, the way he explains Bet Hillel, Delatot, and a lehi. So now the Gemara asks the question. The Gemara is, Vereshut Rabim, mi mi'arba? Is it possible to make an Eruv over Reshut Rabim? Which means the Gemara is giving you now a way to take a public domain, Reshut Rabim deoraita, and adjust it to carry. Gemara says, is that possible? Gemara says, no, it can't be possible. Why? Ve'atanya yeter al ken amar Rabbi Yehuda. More than this, Rabbi Yehuda said. Now, we don't have what he said in the beginning. We just have his second statement more than this. So that she fills us in. What did he say before this? That the Gemara is jumping in the middle of a conversation that says more than this. So that she tells us the Yehuda in this Mishnah over here was referring to a case where let's say you have a you have two houses, okay, and they're on opposite sides of the Reshut HaRabim. Okay, so one house is considered a wall, one row of houses is a wall, and the other row is considered another wall, that's two walls already, and now you have, let's say, a bridge that's going across, let's say from one house to the other, so it says you can carry under the bridge according to the Bi'udah, because we look at the bridge as if the side of the bridge goes down, and therefore you have a third wall. So the Bi'udah is telling you, even under the bridge, you can count. Row of houses, one wall, row of houses, second wall, and the bridge, we make believe the side of the bridge goes down, therefore you have a third wall enclosed, you can carry underneath the bridge. So then the Bi'udah goes, not only when you have three walls could you carry in a shoot to the beam, but the Bi'udah is going to tell you, even if you have two walls, that's Shittat the Bi'udah, if you remember we learned the Masechet Shabbat, that the Bi'udah says even two walls, yeter al ken, more than that, the Bi'udah said, that is a case you can carry in the shoot. What's the case? Yet al ken amar Bi'udan. Mi shayulo shne batim mishne sidir shoot rabim. Guy has two houses, right? On opposite ends of the shoot rabim. Ose lechem mikan velechem mikan, o korah mikan vekorah mikan, venose venoten beemsa. He says all you have to do is make an adjustment and you can carry. What's the adjustment? Either you place a lehi on one side and a lehi on the other side. Meaning, on one side you have a house, shut a beam, and of course you need another house. You actually have a picture of this in number 38. So in the picture number 38, they're showing you the adjustment of the korah. Meaning you run a beam across one end of the house, and on the other end, and then it's considered as if you have over here only two walls with an adjustment of a korah. Or you put a lechi mikan velechi mikan. Now, we don't have the picture of the lechi mikan velechi mikan, but it's on one house. On one house, you put a lechi on one side and a lechi on the other side. And now it's considered as if you have, let's say, technically four walls. Right, the lechi is considered an extension to a wall on one side, and on the other side of the house is considered an extension on that side. But technically, minat Torah, you're okay according to the Bi'udah. Why? Because since you have the two houses are considered walls, and if a midoraita, you can carry there. So what's the adjustment? The rabbis came along and said, they put korot or put lechis. That's what shitat the Bi'udah. That what comes out according to the Bi'udah, that what? There is a way to make it a shoot at a beam. There is a way to adjust it. Comes the rabbis to Rabbi Yehuda and says, "Amru lo en me'arbim reshut harabim bekach." The rabbis came along and said, "Listen, so long as you only have two legitimate walls, you cannot me'arev reshut." Which means, rabbis will agree if you had three walls, then already you can start playing with adjustments. But to come along now and your starting point is two walls with a shoot to the beam, impossible, you can't do it. So the Gemara says, V'chi tema bekachu delo me'arba. Yeah, maybe you'll say it. You can't make an eruv meaning like this, meaning with lehis and korot. Habidilatot me'arba. But maybe you'll argue and say, yeah, but with doors, you can. You asked me a question. The whole question was, you said what? Oh, how could you make an eruv on the shoot of the beam? And you brought me a question from this Mishnah that said what? That the rabbis challenged Rabbi Yehuda and said, how could you adjust to the shoot of the beam? Yeah, they were only challenging him because he was adjusting it with poles and cross beams, but maybe the rabbis would agree that if you adjust it with doors, it'll be okay. And if you remember, Beit Hillel's opinion was, one of the ways you adjust it is you put doors on one side. So maybe when you put doors on one, maybe that's an adjustment. The man says no. Ve'amar Rabbah bar Hanna, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, Yerushalayim, regarding the city of Jerusalem, il male daltotea nina'alot balayla, but not for the fact that its doors were locked at night, hayavim aleha mishum reshut rabim. It would be considered a full-fledged reshut rabim. Meaning, Jerusalem was considered a reshut harabim. Its streets were 16 amot wide. There were 600,000 people that went across those streets. How did they adjust Yerushalayim to make it able to carry, they put gates on both sides of the Reshut HaRabim, and they locked them. It says Minalot, but every night the gates were locked. That, as she says, that didn't fix it totally, but that turned that area of Jerusalem into a Hatzir, into a courtyard. Now you needed to make what's called Erubeh Haserot, an additional procedure, in order to allow everybody to carry in that spot. But what do you see from there? Even doors are only permissible, number one, if they're on both sides. Where Beit Hillel said only have to put doors on one side, so that really, we have no source for that. And number two, like you said, the doors have to be locked every single night. Where Beit Hillel just said put doors on one side, he didn't mention anything about locking. So we're going back to the question. Meaning, even if you want to tell me that there's a way to adjust the Reshut HaRabim with doors, it's only like the way they did it in Jerusalem. Doors on both sides, and doors that are locked. So therefore, how did Beit Hillel tell me just put a lehi on one side and doors on the other side, and even on those doors he didn't mention anything about locking them? Now, you might argue and say, wait, what do you need two sides of doors? According to Hakamim, once you put one side of doors, you have three walls. Once already you have three walls, that's already to shoot the oraita, it's not a shoot rabim anymore. Therefore, the chaura adjustment should be up. Why would you have to put a second set of doors on the other side? So this is actually the Tosfot's question. If you look at Tosfot, he says, on the second line, Im Tomar, Kevan Shiesh Lo Gimel Mechisot, or Bet Mechisot Ushtishit Be Nina'elet, since you have two walls and a third wall of doors, Hare Gimel Mechisot. Which means when we say walls, you need three solid walls, like rows of houses, something like that. Doors already like a quasi wall. So once you're like two delets equal a third wall. So therefore, you can't rely on the doors as the third wall. In any event, what do you see? We haven't found an opinion yet, like Beit Hillel, that said that if you have a Reshut HaRabim open on both sides, that just put doors on one side and a lehi on the other. Even Jerusalem, if it weren't for the fact that it had doors on both sides, they locked it at night, it wouldn't be okay. And furthermore, we have another story. Da'amar Ula, and Ula has taught us, Hane Abule de Mechoza, the gates of the city of Mechoza. Again, Mechoza was a city in Babel. Also, the streets were 16 amot wide, 600,000 people according to Rashi, going through the city. El maled dal tohen nalot, were not for the fact that the gates were locked at night. Hayavin aleim yishum nishud rabim. So we're back to the question. You opened up the statement and said, "How do you ma'arev nishud rabim?" The Gemara is saying, none of the ways you told me will work to make an eruv to carry in the public domain. So the Gemara says, you're right, we weren't talking about an Reshut HaRabim. Amar Rav Yehuda, Achi Ka'amar, Ketzad Me'arvin Mevuot Hamfulashim Reshut HaRabim. Different story. We're talking about how do you make an eruv on a mavui that's opened to the Reshut HaRabim. What's the case? That she tells us, for example, you have a mavui in the shape of a letter het. If you look in your nashis, you'll see the picture right away. It pops out at you. You see that picture over there, where you have a het, like a nashi? Or you, okay, your letter het in Hebrew and the letter U in English. The point is, it's two openings over there into the Reshut HaRabim. So now the Gemara is going to explain. Ketzad me'arvin mevuot amfulashim Reshut HaRabim. How do you adjust mevuot that are opened up in the Reshut HaRabim? The Gemara says, Oseh tzurat ha-petach mikan ve'lechi ve'kora mikan. So you place a tzurat ha-petach. I take it back. Before we get to the U-shaped mavui. Take a regular mavui mifulash. It's open on both sides. Straight mavui. The shoot the rabim on one side. The shoot the rabim on the other side. Probably have a picture of that. Picture number 30. Very good. Picture number 30 is an actual mavui mifulash, straight mavui to shoot the rabim on both sides. That was the Gemara's question. How do you adjust a mavui that has to be on both sides? And to that, the Gemara said, at least according to Tanakama, put a tzurat petah on one side and put a lehi on another side. And then Betelel and Bet Shammai came along and each one said there. But we weren't talking about making a reshut rabim itself adjusted. That you can't do. But the mavui that leads, you can. So it comes to Gemara and has a question. Who's the halakha like? Itmar, Rav Amar Hilcheta Ketanakama. Rav comes along and says, halakha follows Tanakama, meaning Surat HaPetach on one side, Lehi or Koran on the other side. Ushmuel Amar, halakha kahananya. And Shmuel says, halakha will follow Hananya like Bet Hillel, obviously. That what? Doors on one side and Lehi or Koran on the other side. So the Gemara asks, Ibailu, Lehananya alibad Bet Hillel. According to Hananya, that was prosek like Bet Hillel. Sarikh Len Olo and Sarikh Len Olo. New question. Those doors, did it have to be closed or not? Maybe you just need the doors then. Do you have to be shut or not? Tashema. The Amar of Yehuda Mar Shmuel. Ero Sarikh Len Olo. Okay, we have a statement of Yehuda Mar Shmuel. You don't have to lock them. Vechen Amar of Matna Mar Shmuel. Ero Sarikh Len Olo. Again, you don't have to lock them. Ikad Amri, some say Amar of Matna Vididi Ava Obda. So with me there was a story. Damali Shmuel, and Shmuel clearly told me, "En sarich l'nol." Yeah, so far the consensus of all the rabbis over here is the doors just have to be there, but they don't have to be locked or closed. Ba'u mine merav anan. Again, same question is going to be asked now to Rav Anan. Sarich l'nol or en sarich l'nol? Do you have to close those doors on that side or not? So Amaleu tahaze. Let's see it for ourselves. Hane abule din ardea. There were these doors at the gates of Ne'arda'a, Detimen ad Palgayu Be'afra. At the front of these doors, they put dirt in front of them, up to halfway, where you weren't really able now to close them. Right? They were leveled up with dirt in front of them. So now, the Gemara, and what happened? Ve'ayil v'nafik mor Shmuel. And Shmuel on Shabbat went through the gates were still opened a little. They weren't movable. They were opened a little, and he went through them. So what do you see over here? If Shmuel went through these gates carrying, obviously he knows that the gates could be opened. So he said, I'll bring you a story from the fact that Shmuel carried in the gates of Narda'a that were open, and they were, had the afar next to them. So therefore must be what? Velo amalu velo midi. Actually, the people carried through and they didn't tell them anything, implying what? That it's okay if the gates are this, or even though if they are open. So it was Amar of Kana. Now, Hanach Migufot Havai. Those, you can't bring those. So they weren't open. They were partially open. They were, I think Migufot would mean like they were on a slant. Meaning, if you look at the picture. 39. No, 39, that's what we thought was. Yes, 39, that's what we thought the story was, where they were sealed open with the afar up to halfway. And he answered back, says, no, they were actually partially or majority closed. And therefore, could be only in that case Shmuel tolerated them carrying through the mavui. But if they were fully open, could be, he would have said. So you have no proof from the story of Shmuel that he allows you to keep the doors opened. Good? Good. Comes again when I continues. Ki atar of Nachman, when Rav Nachman came along and he said, Amar, he told the people of Narda'a, Penuya le'afrayhu. He told them, you can get rid of the afar. You don't need to have this afar over here, that is keeping the doors from moving. Get rid of the afar. Now we want to analyze. What must have he meant by telling them, get rid of the afar? Lema kasabar Rav Nachman, sarich lin'ol. Must be was telling him, get rid of the afar in order that we can close the doors. It seems the afar was placed in a way where you couldn't, like we said, it was halfway up the door, so the door was just locked. So Rav Nachman came along and said, Rabotai, you gotta move this afar away. Also, we assume that Rav Nachman must have held what? Because he wanted to shut the doors of the Mavui. So he must hold Sarich Linol. The Gemara says, no. Gemara says, Kevan dereuyot dinol afal pi she'en din alot. Could be he just wanted them to be able to shut, even though they're not shut. So we have no ra'ya from what Rav Nachman said, that you need closed doors. So again, it seems with the consensus of the opinions over here, they're telling you as long as the doors are there, even though they're not shut, but they're able to shut, there's no impediment in their way, it is considered a legal adjustment. But again, we're not talking about a shoot to a beam that cannot be adjusted. We're talking about a mavui that leads to the shoot to a beam. And now, the Gemara goes and gives us a new scenario. Period. New scenario. And that's the case that I jumped the gun before. Now we're going to discuss that case now. Hahu mavui akum. There was another type of curved mavui. Da'ava ben arda'a. That's the het. That's Rashi's picture. We have two mavuis that are parallel to each other. And they both open up to a reshut harabim, and they are connected. So there was a case like that in the Hardea. Rame ale humre de Rav ve humre de Shmuel. So they put on this mavui the stringencies of Rav, the stringencies of Shmuel, the itzrechu de latot. And they also necessitated doors. Now we have to figure out what's the stringency of Rav, what's the stringency of Shmuel, and what's the business with the doors. So the Gemara is going to analyze. Chumre de Rav, we gave it the stringencies of Rav. De Amar Torah Tokim Fulash. Remember we learned earlier why the other case of Mavui Akum. Rav considered the case of Mavui Akum. We have the Mavui that's opened up on both sides to the Shut Terabim. It just curves, it's not straight. He said that's like it's opened up to both sides straight. It's a mavui mefulash, and therefore he held, you need the adjustments of a mavui mefulash, you need surat ha-petach, and you need a lehi, right? So comes the Gemara and says, alright, so you're taking the stringency of Rav to consider this case a mavui mefulash. So the Gemara asks, Ve'a amar Rav alacha ketanakama. Didn't Rav say that the halakha follows Tanakama? And therefore, Rashi says, halakha ke Tanakama, three lines on the bottom, de lo ba'ed delit. Which means, you're right, halakha follows Tanakama. What do you need in a mavui mefulash? We just learned it. In a mavui mefulash, according to Tanakama, so the pit on one side, lehi on the other side. What is it saying? And doors. Tanakama did not mention anything with doors. So what are you telling me? There was a case, we had a mavui, and it was akum. So we took the chumrot of Rav. What's the chumrot of Rav? Chumrot of Rav means to say what? That it's considered a mavui mefulash, even though it's not straight. Even though it's curved, we're going to give it a din as if it's a straight, open mavui on both sides. And therefore, what's the stringency? Adjust it. What's the adjustment? The chaura? Tanakama's adjustment of a mavui mefulash. So that's a petah on one side. Lehi on the other side. And what does the statement over here say? Stringency of Rav, doors. What kind of doors? I've never said anything about doors. That's the first question. So the Gemara says, Kishmuel. They followed Shmuel. Meaning what? De Amar Halakha Kehananya. Remember, Shmuel was the opinion that said, we go like Hananya, the way you interpret Beit Hillel, that in a mavui mefulash, you need doors on one side. So therefore, the doors came from the stringency of Hananya, the way he understood Beit Hillel, and Shmuel was posek like Hananya. So therefore, the doors came from Hananya's opinion. So the Gemara says, okay, the doors are coming from Hananya's opinion. Ve'amar Shmuel Torah Tokesatum. But what are you talking about? Shmuel himself said above by the Mavui Akum, it has a din of a Satum. It's considered Mavui Satum. You don't need doors, you don't need anything. So therefore, Kamerakalon says, Kirav, the Amar Turato, Kimfulash. Yeah. For that, we're going to take Rav's opinion that it's considered a Mifulash. So what you did over is you took the Chumrot of both. Which means, first, you have to analyze two questions here. First, how do you classify this Mavui Akum over here? What is it? It could either be a Mavui Mifulash or Mavui Satum. Because it's not standard. The standard Satum is, it's open on one side, there's a third wall in the back. That's standard Satum. Standard Mifulash is open on both sides. This is not standard. This over here is a U-shaped. So, and it's, but it has, there's two openings to the Rishon Tanavim over here. So the question is, how do you consider it? How do you consider it? So on that we had a machlok at Rav and Shmuel. Mavui Akum is a machlok at Rav and Shmuel. Rav says we treat it like a Mifulash. Shmuel says you treat it like a Satum. So when it came to this over here, you know what? The first question we said, we're going to be Mahmir. We're going to treat it like a Mifulash. Who's that like? Rav. Okay, once you've decided that it's a Mifulash, now we're going to discuss how do you adjust it. So we're going to take the stringent opinion on Mifulash adjustment. Who's that? Shmuel. Because Shmuel says you go like Hananya and Beit Hillel, says what? You need to actually put doors. So therefore, we took the Humrah of Rav to consider a Mifulash. We took the Humrah of Shmuel that goes in a Mifulash like Hananya. And therefore, you got to do everything. Now the Gemara is going to ask, do you do that? Which means, is that the way you posek halakot, that you pick a Humrah from one rabbi and you take another Humrah from another rabbi? Or do you have to have a loyalty? Meaning you take one rabbi, whether it's the Kula or whether it's the Hanji, the Gemara is going to question this practice of, you know, picking stringencies from different opinions and putting them together. So the Gemara says, Umi avdinan ketre humre? Are you allowed indeed to take two stringencies like this? Could you do such a thing? Why? Ve'at tanya, we have a braita. Le'olam halakha kebet hilel. Halakha always follows Beit Hillel. Varose la'asot kedivrei Beit Shammai, ose. Kedivrei Beit Hillel, ose. But if you want to follow Beit Shammai, you can. And if you want to follow Beit Hillel, you can. Now right away, that's a contradictory statement. The Gemara right away is going to jump on this. I mean, you tell me right away, you open up the statement, halakha is Beit Hillel. Halakha means what? Halakha is like Beit Hillel. You got to follow him. Then you tell me, and you can do whatever you want. So right away, the Gemara is going to ask on that. But let's continue the braita. Now, mikule Beit Shammai, mikule Beit Hillel, rasha. A guy that takes the leniencies of Beit Hillel and the leniencies of Beit Shammai, that guy's a rasha. I mean, the guy shops. He only goes for leniencies. So he takes all the leniencies of both opinions. That guy, the Gemara calls him rasha. If a guy shops only for stringencies, then he takes all the stringencies of Beit Hillel, he takes all the stringencies of Beit Shammai. On this, the pasuk says, "Hakesil b'choshech holech." The imbecile walks in the dark, which means, because God, why does the guy take stringencies? Because he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. So therefore, I might be like this, better not. So therefore, he doesn't know what he's supposed to do. So therefore, yeah, this guy's a fool also. One guy's a rasha, one guy's just a fool. Not a rasha, because his bottom line is being, but what do you see from over here? That you just don't take stringencies from different rabbis. Yeah. Now, what's the rule? If you want to go like Beit Shammai, you take him straight with his leniencies, with his stringencies. Or you want to like Beit Hillel, you take him straight with his leniencies, with his stringencies. So now the Gemara says, hold it. We have a contradiction in the Braita itself. Amar, you said, you started off telling me the rule is halakha always follows Beit Hillel. Then you said, but if you want to follow Beit Shammai, you're okay. What are you talking? So like a shia. Kan kodim bat kol, kan lehar bat kol. One was before the heavenly voice, and one was after the heavenly voice. Which means there was a period in history where people could do whatever they want. There was mahlokot of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, but you had an option. You wanted to subscribe to Hillel's opinion, you can subscribe. You want to subscribe to Beit Shammai's opinion, no problem. Then came a bat kol. heavenly voice came out and said, Hadacha kebet elil. Once that bat call came out, finished. Now you're locked in. So when the Braita made the statement, Olam Hadacha kebet elil, that was post bat call. That was bat call's the voice. When it said, that was pre bat call. So therefore, the Braita has given you the two periods in history where at one point you were able to do whatever you want. And then at another point you were locked in. So that's one way you could reconcile. Another way you can reconcile is V'ibayitema ha veha lehar bat kol. You can say what? Both statements were said after the bat kol. V'Rabbi Yoshua he delo masgach bebat kol. We have an opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. He doesn't pay too much attention to bat kols because he says lo bashamayim. He says the Torah is not given in heaven. Bat kols cannot decide exactly who the halakha follows. Therefore, we can say the opinions of the Braita actually represent two different opinions. When the Braita says Tanu Rabbanan Halacha Kebetilel, that's according to the rabbis that say what? We go with the bat kol. And when it says Va'osek Kedavrei Betilel Osek Betzuma Osek, that's the Yoshua, even after the bat kol, because he says it don't matter. Even after the bat kol, you can still do whatever you want. Just continue one more point. V'iba et ema. Or we're just trying to explain the Braita. Or Hachi Ka'amar. This is what it's saying. Kol hecha de mashkacha tre tanae vetre amorae de peligi ahadade. The Gemara here in the Braita was bringing Bet Shamayin Bet Hillel as examples to other rabbis. Meaning, when it comes to Bet Hillel and Bet Shamayin, we have a clear cut path. Halakha ke Bet Hillel, finished. Ben the Humrah, Ben the Kula, it's over. That's an exception. Bet Hillel, we follow him across the board, but we're trying to discuss other rabbis, that it's not so cut and dry what you're supposed to do. So we gave an example using the names Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel to give us guidance when it comes to how to deal with other mahlokot. Now we read. Let's say you find either two Tanaim or two Amoraim. That are, let's say, arguing against each other. For example, like the Mahlok of Bet Shammai Bet Hillel. Do not take the leniency of one rabbi and leniency of another rabbi. And not the stringencies. Ela. Which is take the one rabbi straight. Meaning in Bet Hillel, the rule is what? You always have to follow Bet Hillel. That doesn't change. But in other mahlokot, you have a chance to pick your rabbi and take him across the board. Bottom line, the Gemara, we end up with these words, Mikol Makom Kasha. No matter how you learn the Braita, everybody agrees it's saying you don't take the humrot of two different rabbis. Here when it came to the Mavui Akum, they went and took the humrah of Rab and the humrah of Shmuel. So the Gemara says, how did they do that? Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.